This morning we're going to examine our attitude. We're going to examine our attitude and compare it to someone's attitude in the New Testament. We've been studying from the book of Acts. We've been looking at Paul's second missionary journey. In our text this morning, he's leaving Corinth, where he had spent some time. And in Corinth, he had converted a number of individuals to New Testament Christianity. Well, now he leaves Corinth and heads to Ephesus, and he takes with him two of his co-workers, Aquila and Priscilla. We begin reading in Acts chapter 18, verse 18. Acts chapter 18, verse 18. So Paul still remained a good while, then he took leave of the brethren and sailed for Syria, and Priscilla and Aquila were with him. He had his hair cut off at Cenchrea, for he had taken a vow. And he came to Ephesus and left them there, but he himself entered the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. When they asked him to stay a longer time with them, he did not consent, but took leave of them, saying, I must by all means keep this coming feast in Jerusalem, but I'll return again to you, God willing. And he sailed from Ephesus. And when he had landed at Caesarea and gone up and greeted the church, he went down to Antioch. And after he had spent some time there, he departed and went over the region of Galatia and Phrygia in order, strengthening all the disciples. So what happens? He's left Corinth, goes to Ephesus with Aquila and Priscilla. He leaves them there, but he goes on to Antioch. Now, what happens to Aquila and Priscilla? They meet a certain Jew named Apollos. He's the one I want us to look at this morning. He's going to be the focus of our study because here's an individual that had the kind of attitude that every single one of us need to have. Let's see why. First of all, we're going to notice some of the great qualities that he had, beginning in verse 24. Now, a certain Jew named Apollos, born in Alexandria, did what? He was an eloquent man and mighty in the Scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things of the Lord, though he knew only the baptism of John. So he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, and when Aquila and Priscilla heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. Now, let's kind of break this down and look at the qualities that the Holy Spirit tells us he had. First of all, it says he was an eloquent man. Literally, the phrase means he was a man of words. He knew how to use words to convict others. In other words, he had the ability to persuade people. Now, this art of speaking, this particular ability, was an important study in the schools of Alexandria. Remember, that's where he came from. He came from Alexandria. Alexandria, of course, was in Egypt. He was on the northern part of Egypt, close to the Mediterranean Sea. And, of course, this was the city that had the great library of Alexandria, the greatest library, basically, in the world at the time. So, Apollos comes from this town that had such a wonderful library, had such a wonderful school, and one of the things they were noted for was the ability to be eloquent, to persuade, to convict. Well, that was a talent he had. What do we learn about this? The wonderful thing is he could have used this talent in all kinds of endeavors, but he chose to use it in service to God. That's what's incredible about his ability. Unfortunately, a lot of people today have wonderful abilities that are in the Lord's church and talents, but they do not use them for God at all. So there's the first thing we need to examine when we look at ourselves. Do we have a talent that we're not using for the service of God? See, Apollos did. He was talented, and he used that particular talent in the service of God. Well, he wasn't just eloquent. It says he was mighty in the Scriptures. That basically means he was strong in the Scriptures. He was well-versed in God's Word. He was able, with the Word that he had, to give the sense of what it was talking about. He was able to help people understand what was being said. He had the ability to connect things in Scripture. This is something very important. If we're to understand what the Bible says, we simply cannot take one verse out and believe we know what God said. We have to be able to look at the entire picture. Well, one of the things Apollos did was he was able to make connections between things to help people understand the Scripture. So notice these two abilities. He had the ability to speak well, not entertain, but to convict people, to persuade people. Couple that with a good knowledge of God's Word to see how things were connected in the Bible, and he used all of that together to help people come and be converted to Christ. Now that's a wonderful attitude. Again, he could have used that in other ways. Probably made a lot more money. But he's doing this in the service of God. And it says, he was mighty in the Scriptures. He was mighty in the Scriptures. He was instructed, it says, in the way of the Lord. Instructed in the way of the Lord. The things of the Lord. Now, of course, at this time, not all the New Testament was written. So the things of the Lord would include things beginning in the book of Genesis and going all the way up, basically from what we see in verse 25, up until the time of John the Baptist. And after that, he really didn't know much about what had happened. It was only the Old Testament Scriptures plus what he had experienced, basically, about the teaching of John. But that was all he knew. But what he did know, he used very well in persuading and teaching other people. And then you take all that, he was also fervent in spirit. That's what it says, he was fervent in spirit. He would speak boldly about these things. He wasn't ashamed of what he knew. He didn't hide his talent. He didn't hide his ability. He used it. He preached with strong convictions. He preached with feelings. He was zealous. He was on fire. He wanted to tell others what he knew. And just think about all those wonderful qualities. That is the kind of attitude we need to have. That's the kind of attitude we need to have. But the story doesn't end there. It says in verse 25 that he spoke and taught accurately the things of the Lord, though he knew only the baptism of John. He only knew the immersion of John. That's what the word actually is there. Knew the immersion of John. Apparently, he only knew what John taught. Remember, John came, when we go back and look at the beginning of the accounts of the gospel. John came to prepare the way for the Messiah. And he came preaching a baptism of repentance. And he came telling people that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So he would tell people, the kingdom is coming. It's going to be here soon. You need to be prepared for it. That was John's mission. But remember, John was beheaded, Matthew chapter 14, before Jesus even talked about building his church, Matthew 16. Remember in Matthew 16, Jesus said, upon Peter's confession, I'm going to build my church. The gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. John the Baptist was already dead at that time. So when he knew only the baptism of John, there was a lot of things he didn't know. Of course, this was a considerable time before Jesus died on the cross. considerable time before Jesus was raised from the dead, before the Great Commission was given, before he ascended to heaven. So Apollos apparently didn't know those things. He was still preaching that the kingdom of heaven was at hand. Well, the kingdom had already came. The church had already been established. Apparently he didn't know that. He hadn't learned those things. John had talked about the coming of the Holy Spirit like it came in Acts chapter 2. He didn't know about that. He didn't know about the things that had happened on Pentecost when Peter and the apostles had got up and preached the necessity of repentance and baptism for the forgiveness of sins. He didn't know that. He was preaching and teaching what he knew, and he was doing it well, and he was doing it with the right attitude, and he was doing it fervently. But Apollos didn't know of any of those things. Again, he was probably still preaching, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. But thankfully, what happens? There were people who heard him that cared about what he was preaching. It says, so he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Aquila and Priscilla heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. One day he's in the synagogue. What happens? Aquila and Priscilla's in the synagogue. They hear Apollos teaching. What do? Well, they're listening to Apollos, and Apollos is teaching about the Scriptures. It doesn't say exactly what he was teaching, but they could tell from what he was saying that he didn't have the whole picture. In other words, his preaching wasn't complete. Some of the things he was telling people, repent for the kingdom of heaven, was false. See, that was an error. Now, he didn't do that with the wrong attitude, but that's all he knew. But Aquila and Priscilla heard him, and no doubt they said to each other, we have got to explain to him things more accurately, because what he was preaching wasn't accurate. Now, some people today will say, well, that doesn't make any difference. It made a huge difference to Aquila and Priscilla. He was preaching something that wasn't true, so they did what? They decided to take him aside. I mean, it was obvious that he was preaching still John's baptism. That he wasn't preaching about the Messiah, wasn't preaching about the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. In other words, it was incomplete. But notice something about Aquila and Priscilla. We're talking about attitudes and the right kind to have. Notice their right attitudes. They didn't wait for Paul or some other apostle to come. They realized they had a responsibility. They were there, they heard Apollos, and they knew what the Scriptures taught. So they didn't try to pawn off their responsibility on anyone else. No, they were saying, this is our responsibility. We've got to do it. And we've got to do it now. Remember how the book of James ends? James chapter 5, the last two verses of that chapter. It says, brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth, see, that's what Apollos had done. See, he was wandering from the truth. And someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save his soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. See, they knew how serious it was. They couldn't let Apollos continue to preach what he was preaching because it wasn't right. It says, we've got to do something. Notice also that they knew the Scriptures well enough to recognize that what he was teaching was an error. Do we, when we hear error from friends or family or on the radio or on the computer, do we recognize it for what it is? See, that was their attitude, and it was a good one. They also knew that being sincere wasn't enough, because Apollos was very sincere. He was totally sincere. But that wasn't sufficient. It was necessary. It wasn't sufficient. Remember what Paul would later say over in Romans chapter 10 in talking about his fellow countrymen, the Jewish people? Beginning in verse 1, Paul writes, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved, for I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God." Paul said these people have great zeal, but it's zeal for the wrong thing. It wasn't the righteousness of God. That's what Aquila and Priscilla are seeing in Apollos. Apollos has zeal, he's fervent, but his knowledge isn't accurate. But there's one other thing, and I think this is really an important point. They also recognize that he's not out to deceive people. He's not a deceptive false teacher. He's not trying to cause people to turn from the truth. This is all he knows. So there was no need to call him down publicly. What did they do? It says they just took him aside. He just needed more knowledge. So they didn't treat him like they would have treated a false teacher. Because that's not what he was. He wasn't trying to deceive anybody. They did realize that they couldn't let him continue to preach what he was preaching, though. Because it was leading people astray. But he wasn't doing it on purpose. He wasn't doing it hypocritically. He just needed more teaching. So this is something about Aquila and Priscilla that tells us about their attitude and their spirit. This is the kind of spirit and attitude we need to have. There's a difference between a false teacher, someone who's trying to deceive people, and someone that just doesn't understand. Apollos just didn't understand. And so he needed further teaching, and so that's what they're going to do. The last quality of Apollos that we need to mention, that we need to have, is that Apollos possessed an open mind. In other words, he was willing to listen. Let's read the last two verses of the 18th chapter. Verses 27 and 28 says, "And when he desired to cross to..." "To Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him. And when he arrived, he greatly helped those who had believed through grace, for he vigorously refuted the Jews publicly, showing from the Scriptures that Jesus is the Christ." So what do we learn from this episode? Well, the brethren there in Ephesus wrote to the Christians at Corinth. They said, "Please receive Apollos. You can trust his teaching now." See, you can trust his teaching now. So what had happened between verse 26 and verse 27? Aquila and Priscilla had taken Apollos aside and taught him more accurately, and he listened to them. See, he had an open, receptive mind. When they proved to him that what he was saying wasn't true, he accepted it. And that is an amazing spirit. Would we have done the same thing? It's a good question. Now think for a minute. We have a very well-learned, well-educated, eloquent speaker from the city of Alexandria. Alexandria was a great educational center, a college town, had the largest library in the world. Put yourself in his shoes. After his sermon, this man and woman that he didn't know came up to him and had the nerve to tell him that his sermon was filled with error. Now, at that point, he could do two things. He could do two different things. He could have gotten rather puffed up and said, how dare you tell me that I need more teaching? How dare you say that? Who are you to tell me anything? He could have responded that way. That's not what happened. Even though he was eloquent, even though he was well educated and all of this, he realized that he didn't know everything. That this man and woman might actually have something to teach him. That was the kind of mind that he had. He was willing to listen. And apparently, he loved God's word enough that he recognized that what he was being told was the truth. Because he accepted it. And went on and preached. He had a very humble spirit. Especially when it came to being taught. So if someone cared enough for you to show you the way of the Lord more accurately, would you react like Apollos? Or react like other people in the Scripture who didn't react like Apollos? Would we admit we were wrong? Or would our pride get in the way? Apollos went on and did some wonderful things because he was willing to listen. It says he greatly helped those who had believed through grace, for he vigorously refuted the Jews publicly, showing from the Scriptures that Jesus is the Christ. See, he hadn't been preaching that at all. He hadn't been preaching that Jesus is the Christ because he didn't know that he was. And so now he's able to do that. That's having the right kind of spirit. He would be preaching to those people about what grace was. How the grace of God has appeared to all men. Teaching us. See, grace teaches. Titus 2. Grace teaches. What does grace teach? That we believe that Jesus is the Christ. Just like he was proving to those Jews publicly that Jesus is the Christ. That's the foundation for our salvation, is our belief that Jesus is the Christ. But that faith, that belief, causes us to submit to Christ as our Lord and turn away from past sins. We call that repentance. But then we make a public confession of our new allegiance, and then by faith we're buried in water for the remission of sins, and we are raised to walk in a new life. Now, if that's not what you thought one needed to do to be saved, but now understand that it is, why not be like Apollos? Why not have that open-minded spirit? Why not have that that humility, that ability, that desire to do what you know now is the thing to do? We need to be much more like Apollos. The invitation is yours. If you need to respond to that wonderful gospel invitation, knowing that the gospel is the power of God to salvation, then we encourage you to do that as we stand and sing. Let's stand, please.